everybody, and we begin tonight Be'ezus Hashem, part 24 of our Tefillah Vaad series. We're going to be looking, Mitz Hashem, at the 13th and 14th bracha of Shmoneh Esra, the brachas of Al HaTzadikim, followed by the bracha of V'Yerushalayim Ircha. The bracha of Al HaTzadikim is the obvious follow-on from the previous bracha. The previous bracha spoke about really what's the other side of the coin, the Lamalshinim, the Zaydim, the Rishoim. Having dispensed with them and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deal with them appropriately, we now ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we turn our attention to the other side of the coin, which is the Tzadikim. This bracha relates to the Tzadikim, the Chasidim, the Gedolei Olam. What is the difference, in fact, between Tzadikim and Chasidim? If you look in the Mesillas Yesharim, he defines for us quite clearly that Tzadikim are those who keep all the halacha by the letter of the law, and Chasidim are greater still because they go that extra mile and they keep what's called Lifnim Mishuras Hadin, even above the letter of the law. But either way, we're clearly talking about the greatest in Klal Yisrael, the Tzadikim and the Chasidim, and we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically to have Rachmanus on them, Yemu Rachamecho. This bracha is, of course, a very important lesson and a very important yesod for us. There is nothing in Shmoneh Esra that we daven for which is luxury or extra. Everything we daven for in Shmoneh Esra is a basic necessity for life. So just as we understand that our health and our wealth and our chokhmah are absolute essentials, then these brachas are teaching us that no less important, and to a degree the more important, are the tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael. It's not a luxury or a bonus that Klal Yisrael has its tzaddikim and has its zakenim. This is an absolute essential for life, and that's why we need to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have rachmonas, yemu rachamecha, on the tzaddikim, on these chasidim, va'al ziknei amcha beis Yisrael. Ziknei amcha obviously doesn't merely mean the elders because they're old age. Zokein in the Loshon of Chazal always means, zokein is the abbreviation for zeh shekona chochma, somebody who is aged in wisdom. I heard a number of years ago Rav Shach Zecher Tzadik Levracha, at the age of 95, once invested a huge amount of energy in dealing with a certain issue pertaining to a particular yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva of that yeshiva apologized to Rav Shach. He said, "I see that Rav Shach has invested so much time and so much energy into dealing with this issue with regard to our yeshiva. I feel so bad that we've taken all this time away from the Rosh Hashiva, such precious time." So Rav Shach said to him a most incredible thing. Rav Shach said, "Do you know how old I am? I'm 95 years old." He said, "Most people don't necessarily have the privilege of reaching my age, and they're no longer around at this age of 95. I've been given this matana of extra years to my life purely and utterly and totally for the sake of being dedicated to the needs of Klal Yisrael. So therefore you needn't apologize for having taken my precious time. This time is a bonus time. This is an addition, as it were, to my life, and these extra years are to be dedicated for the service of Klal Yisrael." So the addendum to that story was that a Talmud Chacham heard about this, and he said, maybe that's what it means, therefore, in Shmoneh Esra. Al ziknei amcha beis Yisrael. It doesn't call them the tzaddikim of beis Yisrael, but the ziknei amcha beis Yisrael. Those elders who have been given that additional gift of life. Why? Purely for the sake of Amcha Beis Yisrael, of dedicating their time and their energy and their efforts to the needs of Klal Yisrael. And this is a tremendous bracha that we see to our very day. A matana min ha-shamayim. As somebody once put it, maybe dryly, most gedolei Yisrael, they seem to launch their career at about the age of 90. Of course, they're wrong. Gedolei Yisrael didn't launch any career at 90. They launched their career from day one in becoming a gadol b'Yisrael. But what they meant is, as a role, playing that role as a gadol b'Yisrael, and we see it in our day. Only very recently, we're still, as it were, missing very much Gedolei Olam, Rabbi Eliashiv, and Rav Shteyman, Zecher Tzadikim Levracha, who both lived to the age of 100 or so, or even more. Rav Ozna, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Gedolei Olam, who lived to a ripe old age. You see this Matana min HaShomayim, they lived above, over and above the average age, and indeed they dedicated all their time and efforts in taking care of Klal Yisrael. And that's why, including in our generation, it's so vital, so central, not just a bonus or an extra, but it's so essential that we daven for the welfare of Gedolei Yisrael, who ultimately are our leaders in every respect. And that's what it means, Al Ziknei Amcha Beis Yisrael. There is another category over here, and we talk about Va'al Pleitas Seifreihem. Now, Seifreihem is literally translated, the Rabbonon are called in the Gemara Divrei Seifrim. What does it mean, Va'al Pleitas Seifreihem? So once again, I heard a number of years ago a very beautiful translation, and I think we can relate to this in a very real way. We see on occasion Tzadikim Yesedei Gedolei Olam, who seem, not just with regard to their age, but rather with regard to their whole manner and lifestyle, they seem to be, as it were, a remnant of a previous generation, a throwback to previous times. And I think in our day and age, perhaps the best example we can all relate to in a very real way is the lifetime of the Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Shteyman Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When we hear and we read about the way he conducted his life, it seems almost impossible for us to believe that he lived in our times. It literally seems and it feels to be a throwback from different times. Who is able to say, like Rav Shteyman? Rav Shteyman once said about himself the following thing. It almost seems comical, but he said it in a very real way. The halacha is, if you eat a suda on Shabbos, and you have to say Ritzei, if you're not sure if you said Ritzei or not, I cannot remember. I've benched and I don't remember whether I've said Ritzei, so the halacha is that you have to assume that you probably did not say it. Why do you have to assume that? Because after all, 6 days of the week, when you bench, you're not saying Ritzei. So the fair assumption is that you probably just reverted back to your normal weekday benching and you did not say Ritzei. So Rav Shteyman once said about himself, he says, I think for me the halacha is different. I only ever bench on Shabbos. I don't bench during the weekday. In fact, I only ever say a Birkas Hamazon with Ritzei in it, because I don't have bread during the week. Neither have I done so for many years. So therefore, if I bench on Shabbos, and I'm not sure if I've said Ritzei, so to the contrary, I probably did say Ritzei, because I only ever bench on Shabbos. All of my Birkas Hamazon incorporates Ritzei. Who in the world can even get close to that? That sounds like a throwback from the previous day. People who lived on such incredibly high standards of precious. I was told that Rav Shteyman attended a dinner, a gala dinner for a yeshiva, and they brought in front of him a piece of cake. And he said, it's okay, I haven't made Borim Nemezones for 70 years. It's so incredible, these standards. That's what it means, Al Pleitas Seifreihem. They seem to be the remnants of a previous generation or a previous doyer. It almost sounds like when you read the biography of Rav Shteyman, it sounds like you're reading a Gemara or a Medrash. Chazal tell us that Rav Chanina ben Doisa managed to sustain himself on a few carobs and a bit of water. I don't believe Rav Shteinman ate much more than that either. Al pleitas seifreihem, the remnants, these chachamim who are the remnants, as it were, a throwback to previous times, we daven for their welfare as well. Va'al geire hatzedek. Very interesting, we make specific mention of the geire tzedek, those who have converted. The reason why we make mention of them is, to a certain degree, they indeed represent the biggest tzaddikim of all. Those who have literally turned around their lives, turned their back on decades of a specific way of living, and have changed that completely in order to attach themselves to the emes, attach themselves to Torah and to mitzvahs and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They represent, as it were, our greatest heroes, the greatest tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael, and we daven for their welfare. But most fascinatingly, perhaps, is that next word. After having mentioned tzaddikim, chassidim, ziknei amcha beis Yisrael, pleita seifreihem, and then we say, v'oleinu, and us too. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that may we also be zoicha to be included in that same bracket. May we also live up and become a tzaddik and a chosid and a ziknei amcha beis Yisrael. So that is the bracha that we are davening for. We are davening for the welfare, yemu rachamecha, on the tzaddikim, on the leaders, on the elders of Klal Yisrael. Then we daven a very fascinating thing. We say the same Sachar Toiv L'chol HaBoitchem. And please give reward to all those who have bitochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That obviously seems very strange. After all, if they truly deserve Schar, then surely there's no necessity to daven that they should get Schar. If they deserve it, they'll get it. And if they don't deserve it, they won't get it. But surely there's no need to daven for it. So some of the Mefarshim explain that if you look carefully, it doesn't say the same Sochar, it says the same Sochar Toiv. Toiv is very often a reference to Olam Hazeh. Toiv v'Olam Hazeh. What we're davening for is that these tzaddikim undoubtedly will all be deserving of Schar, and indeed they will get that Schar. But where will they get that Schar? In Olam Haba. What we're davening is that they should be zeicha also to Olam Hazeh. Can you imagine the Kiddush Hashem when you see that a tzaddik seems to have a relatively peaceful life, although that isn't always the case, but then that emerges a tremendous Kiddush Hashem from that. You see that somebody who dedicates their life to Torah and mitzvahs, look at the life that they lead. Look at the fulfilled and tranquil life that they lead. That's what we're davening for. The same Sochar Toiv L'chol HaBoitchim. May they be Zeicha not only to Olam Haba. We don't need to daven for that. We can be rest assured they will have that Sechar. But they should be Zeicha to Toiv. Toiv in Olam Hazeh as well. What a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that would be. And then we ask, and this is a line that could very easily escape our attention, but it's so important. Vesim chalkeinu imohem le'olam. And place our chelek with them. Who's them? Those who are boiteach b'Hashem. As we well know, for example, in the Chovos Halvavos, who has got many sections to his sefer, but I think it's probably fair to say that the most famous part of the Chovos Halvavos is the Shaar HaBitochin. A person who has bitochin has everything. A person who has no bitochin has nothing. We are davening over here specifically the sim chalkeinu imohem lo'olam, that we too should also be balei bitochin. Undoubtedly, in order to become a bal bitochin, it takes a lifetime of work. But like everything, after all the work is said and done, we need to be mispalel as well. We are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be boiteach b'Hashem, boiteach be'emes. What does that mean to be boiteach be'emes? Bitochin is the easiest thing in the world to talk about. Far harder to put it into practice. To be boiteach be'emes means in times of difficulty, when a person is truly tested, what's his bitochin like then? There is a very famous story with the great Godel B'Yisrael, Rabban Shel Yisrael, the Kovner of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, where it was reported to him that the wealthiest Jew in Kovna, he had all of his wealth invested in 10 enormous boats, which were laden with all type of merchandise, and these boats were sailing and docking and dealing and wheeling, and that's how he made his fortune. And the telegram arrived in Kovna reporting that all 10 boats sank. So incredibly, in a moment, in an instant, the wealthiest man in Kovna had just become the poorest man in Kovna. And they told the Kovna Rav, this is what's happened, and surely only the Rav will find a way of telling him. Anybody else who reports this news to him, he surely will not be able to take it. He'll have a heart attack out of Agmas Nefesh. So the Kovna Rav called him in and said, I need to ask you a big favor. He said, I'd like to run a campaign in town, being mechazek the inyan of bitochin. I'd like to go around lecturing and giving a series of shiurim about bitochin, believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and teaching people how you have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is the best. Fine. Says this Jew, but what's that got to do with me? Why do you need my help? So he says, I'll tell you, because if I go delivering these shiurim, it might not make the same impact if you would help me. Can you imagine if you would stand up in front of an audience as the wealthiest man in Kovna, and you would say, you know, everything that happens to us is min hashamayim, and sometimes we have misyonos, and who knows what, if we have wealth today, we might not have it tomorrow, but we have to trust in Hashem. If you would give a shiur to that effect, I think that would make a tremendous impact on the Kehillah. This was the Kovna Rav's great ga'onus on breaking the news slowly to him. So this Yid says to him, fine, if that's what the Rav wants for me, I'm more than happy to help. Says the Rav, Beseder, but you have to be on that level of bitochin, and obviously it's a lecture. So they sat down and they studied for a number of days the Chelus Halvovas, Shar HaBitochin. And after a while, the Kovna Rav said to him, no, you think you've strengthened your bitochin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're ready to begin lecturing on the subject? Yes, surely. He says, imagine if I would tell you that out of your 10 boats, everybody knows you have your great 10 enormous ships. Imagine if I would tell you that 5 of them had sunk, gone. What would you say? He took a deep breath and a big gulp and he said, oh, it would be very difficult for me to take, but after all, I've strengthened my bitochin and I think I could take it. And I would say, Hakoyel Biyad Hashem. So he says to him, and if I would tell you that 7 of your ships had sunk, what would you say then? He says, oh, I don't think I could take that. Fine. They go and they study further time, many, many hours invested in strengthening further their levels of bitochin. And after a while, the Kovna Rav says to him, no. And if I told you that 8 out of 10 boats had gone, do you think you could take that now? Yes, I think I could take it. After all, HaKol Biyad Hashem, and you have to believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And eventually the Kovna Rav took the plunge and he said to him, and what happens if I would tell you that all 10 boats had gone? And there was this long pause, and he says, I don't think I could take that. After all, 10 boats, I've nothing left. Fine, back to the drawing board. And they invest further energy in learning the Chavos Halvavos and other sforim that deal with bitochen. And eventually the Rav says to him, no, after all we've studied together, after all you've strengthened your madregas in bitochen, if I were to now tell you that all 10 of your ships, every single one has sunk, would you be able to take that? And this great wealthy individual, or at least that's what he thought, says to the Kovna Rav slowly, after all we've learned, I think I could take it. Hakol b'yad Hashem, and it's so important to be b'teach b'Hashem, and everything is the Tov. Upon which the Kovnarov took the telegram out of his pocket, and he showed this individual that indeed 10 out of 10 boats had sunk. And on the spot, this individual fainted. He passed out. Eventually he came round, and the Kovnarov says to him, "I don't understand. We've spent so long, days after days after days, and you told me that even if I would say to you that 10 of your boats had gone, you'd be able to take it. And I told it to you, and you passed out on the spot." And he said to the Kovnarov, he said, "Yes, when I told you that I could take it, that's as long as my boats were still happily sailing in the sea." Very, very easy to talk about bitochen. But when it became real, aboitchem b'shimcha be'emes, oh, that's a different proposition altogether. I might have said in a previous forum, I have an uncle in London, Rabbi Yisrael Fine, some of you may know him, a rav of experience in many, many years. And he told me, and this almost sounds comical, but it's such a profound lesson. He said that he met a junior rav, somebody new to the rabbinate, and he said to him, "No, tell me how you're acclimatizing, how you're managing in your new position." And this junior rav said to my uncle, "I must be honest, it's very difficult." I said, "Why, what's so difficult?" He said, "I'll tell you, I'm very worried what's going to be in the future, and with Parnosa, and the job doesn't pay that well, and I'm not sure what's going to be." So my uncle said to him, "Excuse me, I don't understand. Don't you give shiurim in bitochen to your kehila? This is your job, to lecture to others about bitochen. Where's yours?" And he said to my uncle, he said, "Rabbi Fine, this is different. This is lamaisa." That's what he told my uncle. "This is different because it's lamaisa. Kamo musa yesh bozeh. It's very easy to give lectures about bitochen and even to read about bitochen, but that's as long as your boats are sailing." And that's what we're davening for in this bracha. That in order to be on a true level of bitochen, to be b'teach v'kodesh baruch hu be'emes, then indeed we need to daven the sim chalkeinu imohem lo'olam. We too should have our part in being balei bitochen. The bracha finishes with the words, mishon u'mivtoch latzadikim. We know what a mivtoch means. Mivtoch is from the same root as the words bitochen, security. Mishon means to lean on. What does it mean to be a mishon or miftoch latzadikim? So I saw in the name of the brother of the Vilna Goyen, he says, even though tzadikim have great bitochen, but sometimes we don't necessarily see how we're going to get ourselves out of a hole. A person finds himself in a difficult situation going through an isoyin, even though he's got a bitochen, and he's sure that things will turn out for the best. But what will happen until that stage? What will happen until things turn out for the best? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a lifeline until he sends us the Yeshua. And the example, the greatest example of this is, says the brother Vilna Goyen, for example in Mitzrayim, even before the final Geula came about, Klal Yisrael had something to cling on to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them that even though the Zman of the Geula had not yet arrived, they could not be taken out of Mitzrayim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them miracle after miracle after miracle, the Eser Makos. That was the Nishon before the Mivtach. That was the crutch that they could lean on before the Yeshua arrived, so that indeed they should not lose their bitochen. So too in the times of Achashverosh, even before the great Hatzolah finally arrived, it wasn't yet the time, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, held on to Klal Yisrael, and he showed them that things are about to improve. All of a sudden there's this dramatic turnaround. Instead of Haman being paraded around town as he desired, he finds himself parading Mordechai around the town. That was the Mishon before the Miftach. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of showing the Geula is on its way. Just hang on in there. Only today, this afternoon, I spoke to my father in London, and he told me the incredible story, very important story, about the Yid who came to the great Rizhna Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Mirozhin, the founder of the Rizhna dynasty. And he came to the Rebbe, and he had various difficulties, and he emerged from the Rebbe all pleased. And somebody there, the Gabbai of the Rebbe, said to him, "Nu, what did the Rebbe say to you? You seem to be a different person." And he says, "The Rebbe assured me that everything will be just fine. Es wird sein git, everything will be okay." The Gabbai said to him, No, don't go home. Go back into the Rebbe." "Go back in? I just got my brocha. The Rebbe said everything is going to be fine." So the Gabbai said to the Rebbe, said to this person, "But go back into the Rebbe and ask him for another brocha. What will I do until things will become fine? The Rebbe gave you a brocha. He didn't say everything is okay now. He said it will be okay. So what do I do until then?" So he went back into the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, "Indeed, I give you a further brocha. That until things will become fine, things should be fine. Everything should be okay until things indeed become okay." That's the Nishon u'miftoch latzadikim, and that's what we're davening for over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides not only the Yeshua for the Baalei Bitochein, but he provides them that security to hold on to their Bitochein even when the picture looks bleak. And that's the yesod of this bracha. A very, very fundamental bracha. Number one, we daven for the welfare of the tzaddikim and the chassidim. And number two, we daven for the union of bitochin, and that we also should take our part and be a baal bitochin. The next bracha, v'Yerushalayim ircha, of course, doesn't need any explanation of why this is so central to our Shmona Esra, but really, we have Tisha B'Av still in our memory not that long ago. This reminds us, perhaps, of the perennial difficulty that perhaps we have in attaching ourselves and connecting to the Avodah of Tisha B'Av, which really, as is evident from this bracha, something that we need to relate to every day. If we're davening v'Yerushalayim ircha berachamim toshu, what we really mean to express is that there is something extremely missing. There is a gaping void in our life, and that's Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. There are so many different ways that we can explain this, but perhaps one is as follows. The Medrash says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Goyim were in fact afraid to enter the Beis HaMikdash. After all, they knew full well the Beis HaMikdash is a Mokim Kodesh. There was a Yid whose name was Yosef Meshisa, and this Yosef was a tremendous Rasha. And he says, "I couldn't care less. I have no fears in the world. I'm more than happy to go into the Beis HaMikdash." So they sent him into the Beis HaMikdash, and they told him, "Bring us something out." He went into the Beis HaMikdash, and he emerged unbelievably with the Menorah. He emerged with the Menorah. So they said, "No, that's not good enough. Go back in." And he says, "No, I'm not going back in. I've already angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu once. I'm not going to anger him again." And they tried to bribe him with great rewards, and he was unmoved. They gave him tremendous torture, Yisurim Noiroim, and he refused to re-enter the Beis HaMikdash. Asked the Ponovitch Rav, "What happened to this Yosef Meshisa? The quickest Baal Tshuva in the history of humanity. A minute ago, this great Rasha had no qualms, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash to steal the Menorah. And all of a sudden, he's Chayza B'Tshuva. No, I won't possibly enter the Beis HaMikdash for the second time. But a minute ago, you were more than happy to do so. What happened in the course of the minute?" Said the Ponovitcherov, "An unbelievable thing. You're right. He was a Rasha Gomor prior to his entry into the Beis HaMikdash. having entered the Beis HaMikdash, having experienced that Kedusha, he emerged a different person completely. Yes, indeed, the quickest Baal Tshuva. That was the koyach of the Mokem HaMikdash. This tremendous Hisoirus, this tremendous Aliyah, the Kedusha, that experience of Ruchnius that he felt in a few seconds in the Beis HaMikdash changed him in a moment such that he would refuse to re-enter the Beis HaMikdash. We've spoken about this in the past. We can all connect to moments we have in our life of Kedusha. We have highs and we have lows, but we all have those highs and we want to try and hang on to them. And perhaps the greatest example is the feeling of exhilaration that we experience Ne'ilah Yom Kippur. Who's thinking of eating or drinking during Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur? We might be hungry and thirsty, starving, exhausted, tired and in pain. But all we think about is Va'ani Kirvas Elokim Li Tov. Nobody's thinking about Gashmias, and yet we all know the reality, what happens the day after Yom Kippur. We somehow can't really revert back to that ecstasy that we all experience during Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. So that's a time that we have to think to ourselves how much we're missing the Beis HaMikdash. A few seconds experience of the Beis HaMikdash means that that's always available. That opportunity, that exhilaration of Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, for example, is ever available if ever you have the Beis HaMikdash. This Yosef Meshisa entered for 1 second and he emerged a different Jew completely. That's what we're davening for, the Yerushalayim Ircha. We realize that not having Yerushalayim, not having the Beis HaMikdash, there is indeed this enormous void in our life. This experience of Kedusha, that it's so hard for us to come by, would be available on a constant and daily basis if only we had the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, it's so important to point out that we're not just davening for Beis HaMikdash. The bracha starts with the words, V'lirusholayim ircha. We have to realize, even though, for example, on Tisha B'Av, in the bracha of Nachem, we talk about the Ir HaChareva V'Hashoymeima, the desolate and ruined city of Yerushalayim. Go now to Yerushalayim and you'll see fabulous buildings, wonderful bridges and skyscrapers. It doesn't seem to be a ruined and desolate city. But clearly, obviously, what is being referred to is not whether you have large office blocks in Yerushalayim. It's desolate in Ruchnius. That's what's devoid in Yerushalayim. And we must never make the mistake of thinking that Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, what we see today, is the way that it's supposed to look. To the contrary, we're davening that the former glory and Kedusha of Yerushalayim should indeed be restored, because at the moment, it's simply not there. And if it only were to be there, together with the Beis HaMikdash, we say, not only are we davening the Sishkoim V'Seicha, that the Shekhinah should reside in Yerushalayim, but so too, Ubnei Oisa, build it up and build the Beis HaMikdash. When should this be? B'korayiv b'yomeinu. It should be in our lifetimes, but if we really zeicha, it would be b'korayiv. We have to note, Chazal tell us, that even in times of Churban, the Shekhinah essentially does exist in Yerushalayim. The Medrash tells us that the Shekhinah has never left the Kosel HaMa'arovi. Until this very day, if one davens at the Kosel HaMa'arovi, one has to be aware that the Shekhinah is there. But what we're davening for is that there should be the strengthening of this Shekhinah. The strengthening of this Shekhinah should exist in Yerushalayim, because it doesn't at the moment exist to the level that we would love it to exist in. Finally, we say, V'chisei David Mehera L'Seicha Tochim. A very interesting and perhaps peculiar addition to this bracha. The next bracha, and we'll discuss this Be'ezus Hashem next week, is Es Tzemach David. Why are we making mention of David HaMelech in the bracha that talks about Yerushalayim? But the obvious answer is that unlike a non-Jewish king, whose sole purpose, whose only tafkid is just to take care of the social welfare of his subjects, the Melech Yisrael, who is of course epitomized by David HaMelech, his duty is to restore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory in Klal Yisrael. That's really his function. Therefore, restoring the Shekhinah and restoring the Beis HaMikdash is of course part and parcel that goes together with the restoration of the Malchus Beis David. If David HaMelech Melucha would only be restored, and we would have a Melech who would lead Klal Yisrael, whose sole agenda would be to further Kiddush Hashem, then that would be part and parcel of bringing back Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. The bracha finishes with the words, Baruch Ato Hashem, Boine Yerushalayim. Very important to note. It doesn't say Yivne, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build in the future, but rather Boine in the present. We have to know that our Gedolim, the Chofetz Chaim and others have told us and assured us that we are in the final stages of the Golos, in the Ikvas of the Mashiach. And every Tzara, and every Nisayon, and every difficulty that we manage to withstand is another brick which is being built in the process of building Yerushalayim. Boine Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is constantly being built. In our lifetimes, at least those in the older generation, who lived, for example, through the terrible Churban of Europe, and yet saw that there were those who remained steadfast in their emunah, in their bitochen, and they rebuilt their lives and built up families of Shomrei Torah or mitzvahs, they are the builders of Yerushalayim. That is the Boine Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is being built on a constant basis. Each Nisayon, each Tzara, which we are able to withstand, which is a declaration of our allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a further brick in the wall of Yerushalayim. And therefore Yerushalayim is not just to be built in the future, but Boine Yerushalayim in the present. That is really the essence of this bracha. Binyan Yerushalayim is an ongoing process. We have to realize what's missing from our life. If this bracha finds its place in the Shemoneh Esra, then Chazal are clearly teaching us that we have to understand that we have a gaping void, an enormous hole in our life, but Yerushalayim is being built. If we daven this bracha b'kavona, then indeed we'll be zeicha, u'bnei yisa, b'sishkein b'seicha, and we'll be'ezus Hashem see, indeed, the binyan Yerushalayim may be the korev, the yomenu, the mehira, amen.
Thank you, Rav. Good night, everyone.